concept, but you are a person that is here with us, and we recognize that this morning. We recognize you, Jesus, this morning. You're here with us. You're not somewhere buried. You're resurrected, the risen one. This morning we recognize Jesus. That you're the one. You're the one that brings salvation. You're the one that moves our heart to believe. That you're the one that we fixate our eyes on. And Jesus, we pray this morning, God with us, that you move our hearts this morning. That you move our minds, you move our wills, that as you teach us this morning, that you would motivate us to do what is right. That your Spirit will bring about the action in our lives that you require from our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for the work and the cross. We thank you for your death and your resurrection. We thank you, Jesus, that because of you we have power. Supernatural power, power to live in a way that glorifies you, that pleases you, and that pleases the Father. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Well, we started this series a couple of weeks ago, and this series had to do with this concept of when good people snap, right? When people in Scripture that the people around them would have thought these guys are good, when they make a series of bad choices, and along the way they just get into their snapping point. And we talked about characters like Lot, who in Scripture we see that he's a righteous guy, yet he gets a little too close to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then eventually he lives in there, and then next thing you know it, he leads in there, and then next thing you know it, he doesn't want to leave there when, you know, all hell is breaking loose, to put it lightly. And then we saw Judas, and at first I got a knee-jerk reaction of, Judas, are you got to be kidding me? How is he a good guy? But we explored his life, and we saw that the people around him would have seen him as a good guy. He's the treasurer of the disciples. He's the guy who's there. He would have gone out there preaching. He would have been doing miracles. He wouldn't have been out in the corner in the shadows. And never says that. Never says, oh, but Judas was hiding somewhere while they preached the good news. Actually, he was there in the thick of it. And we saw that from outward appearances, people would have thought that this guy is a good catch. He's one of the disciples. And we saw that one day he just snapped. And he gave the Savior away for 30 pieces of silver. And then last week we talked about Cain, another guy that most of us think, oh, he can't be a good guy. But we saw last week that almost everything around him was good. You didn't have the gangs yet. You didn't have the drive-by donkey shootings yet. I mean, everything was pretty clean back then. There wasn't like bad music back then. Music hadn't been discovered yet. And so we saw that Cain would have been a good guy. But then he snaps. And he snaps pretty bad. He gets angry, which is not really the core issue, is what he did with that anger. He killed someone. And so this morning, I want to explore two lives. As a matter of fact, actually it's going to be three lives, Miriam and Aaron. And most of you may know who these two characters are. They're the brother and sister of Moses. And I'm going to take you through a journey this morning. And that journey is going to be looking at this concept of envy. Now, if we're honest this morning, most of you, like me, would probably say, I can identify envy in someone else pretty fast, right? Most of us can. If we look at the lives of others, we're real quick to be able to figure out when somebody is being jealous or envious. But it's very hard for us to see it in ourselves. It's really hard. And part of the reason that it's really hard to see envy in ourselves is because envy is one of these little sins in our lives that we masquerade it as a virtue. Right? Have you ever been one to say, well, I'm not really jealous of my neighbor's new Hummer, a new car, or a new Lexus, or whatever it may be. I just want to upgrade because, you know, because I want to make sure that we're in the same playing field. Right? We're like, it's a virtue. It's like, whoa, we've got to. We live in the same neighborhood. I can't be driving, you know, a Toyota Echo, you know, when my next door neighbor has a big new truck, Dodge truck, you know. We're like, no, we're just, you know, living up to par with each other. Or have you heard this one? Maybe you've said it yourself. It's like, you know, it's not that I'm competing with the Joneses. It's that, you know, I just want my kids to have that of which I didn't have. Right? Feeling guilty yet? It's a virtue, right? We use it as, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good, you want to do something that you didn't have, and so now you want to get more stuff because you want your kids to have stuff. And so it becomes a virtue. And as long as it's a virtue, we fail to see that envy can be very destructive in our life. That jealousy can be detrimental to our walk with God. As long as it's a virtue, it's okay. But don't step on my toes too much, Jesse, right? Well, I will, and as we see the story of Miriam and Aaron this morning, I think we're going to find ourselves, all of us, really relating a lot with Miriam and Aaron. Now, if you remember, just to kind of give you a little bit of background on Miriam, Miriam is this the sister of Moses. And if you go back to Exodus chapter 2, you see the first glimpse of Miriam. I love it. I mean, it's just, she's a good girl, you know, in the sense of, she's one that you would want your daughters, men and women, if you have a daughter, she's one that you would want your daughter to emulate. She's one that you would want your daughter to aspire to be like. You see, because Miriam lives in this age where the Jewish boys are